much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Sean, if you're out there listening in Australia, would you please let me know if I'm coming across? I disconnected here from Orion and logged back in. I don't know what is going on. It shows that the Orion is disconnecting me. It showed that twice. I have no idea how that happened, but okay, you can hear me. Well, I'll call my guest back now, folks, and bring John Moore back on to repeat what he had to say. I'm really sorry about this tonight. I have no idea what is going on here, but Sean says he can hear me now, and I really appreciate you standing by out there, Sean. Anyway, I'll call John back here. Hang on, folks.
I'm here.
Okay, John, can you hear me?
Roger that. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. My listener in Australia says we're coming. I'm coming across now. So.
All right. Good. We can just start over.
I'd appreciate it.
No problem.
Well, anyway, we're gonna start over, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day show. Sorry about the technical problems here. We have on the phone here John Moore, and he's gonna repeat what I wanted to know more about on this Vatican Mount Graham Observatory telescope that was launched here, which just happens to be in the month of May, which is the month, according to Professor Jim McCanny, that they have a prime-time viewing of this Planet X object headed our way. So the floor is yours, John. Go ahead.
That's right. Well, Professor McCanny is a friend, and we've met one-on-one in person, and we talk frequently on the telephone. And he's my advisor when it comes to these matters. Lucifer, what a name for a telescope that's being funded by the Catholic Church. It's allegedly an acronym, but most acronyms will string together words and use the first letter of these words to make the acronym. But in this particular acronym, they skipped a number of words to come up with this particular acronym. But what's unique and special about this particular telescope is its ability to see through dust and see an object inside the dust or behind the dust, which, of course, all of serious researchers, and I'm going to include yourself here, Sheldon, know that the 10th planet is clouded in inside a cloud of dust. And that's very important, very significant, that they've built this, they've got it up and running, and they're going to be making these observations. So that's extremely important, and the fact that they've announced it publicly is something that we all have taken and paid attention to.
I was going to ask you, you know, I heard Professor McCanny on Dave Hodges' show a few Sundays ago, and he says there's no evidence at this time of an incoming Planet X-type object, but at the same token, You said it is definitely headed our way. Why does McCanny seem to steer away like he does?
Well, he's a scientist, and I don't pretend to speak for Jim. He speaks for himself. And he's not inside, you know, he's not in NASA. He doesn't have access to all the imaging that NASA has access to. I know from my confidential sources, Sheldon, that NASA is keeping the most important imaging away from the public, which includes Jim McCanny as well as everybody else listening to us, unless they're government insiders. The government, however, has had access to imaging since 1979. Radar imaging, infrared imaging, optical imaging in the light spectrums that we human beings can see, watching the 10th planet now for 31 years. So it's no secret to them where it is and how fast it's approaching. It's a secret to everybody outside the government, including Jim McCanny.
Okay, I'm getting a text message from our listener in Australia. We're coming across really good now. So
outstanding.
Hey, I also wanted to ask you, where would one go on the Internet to really get a good image of Planet X? Is there such a thing to see?
Well, Professor McCanny once again says that everything posted on the Internet is a fraud. And anything that claims to any object that's red, he says, is also a fraud, that it won't look red to the naked eye. So that's from the expert, and I'm not going to challenge that.
Did you get a chance, by the way, to listen to McCanny's show from Thursday night? It was kind of good. He mentioned that they discovered a 100-mile diameter asteroid out there between Mars and Jupiter, where we suspect this object is located right now.
Really? No, I didn't. I haven't. Usually Sunday's my day to listen to archives, so I haven't had a chance to listen to that one yet. That's fascinating. An asteroid 100 miles across that's a big piece of rock.
It sure is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. What about this NSA data center? You said now they open one in Georgia. Is that correct?
Yeah. The National Security Agency has always been at Fort Meade, Maryland. That's been their home since day one. And at Fort Meade, Maryland, they've got 18 acres of Cray mainframe computers underground. Now, the reason I say they're abandoning that location is because the local power company cannot provide enough electricity, which is in conflict a bit with another press release they had, was that they were moving to Utah because electricity was cheaper, which everybody laughs at that, of course. So now they're building a facility 20 miles south of Salt Lake City and another one at Augusta, Georgia, which is about a two-hour drive from Atlanta going east. And I don't know if there's other facilities they're building, but they're certainly spreading out and getting away from the East Coast. We need to keep in mind, also, Sheldon, I should mention this, the country will be split. The United States will be split east-west at the Mississippi River Valley. The eastern capital will be Atlanta, and, of course, Augusta is not quite but almost a suburb of Atlanta. And the western capital will be the Denver, Colorado area.
Yeah, that's correct. That's what I've heard. Well, actually, that's what this guy, what's his name, Al Bielek, he's the one that mentioned these two new capitals that'll be here in the U.S. What do you think about Al Bielek?
I was at a presentation Al did. This is back about 15 years ago. His story is so unusual and so unique, it probably is true. I know for a fact, because I have a personal contact who worked with two men who were part of the Philadelphia experiment, and that thing was real. That the U.S. Navy and the Philadelphia Naval Yard really did make a full-size warship move several hundred miles instantly with all the men on it. That really did happen. And they stopped, you know, they inadvertently stumbled upon that technology, Sheldon. But once they inadvertently stumbled upon it, they weren't about to walk away from it. What they did in 1943 in the Philadelphia Naval Yard was create the most powerful man-made electromagnetic field in modern times. I have to emphasize modern times because we've had high technology in the past. And that's what made all that happen, was that that high-energy electromagnetic field. So, yeah, Al Bielek's quite a character. He's got quite a story.
John, you're coming across in my headset just excellent here. We're coming into the break here in about a minute or two. Would you be willing to hold over for just a few more minutes?
I'll hold over a few more minutes, sure. We got this much time invested. Let's put a little more in it. I want to get my contact information out also.
Most definitely, yeah. Well, before I go into the break here, what are your anything else you can think of before we go into the break?
Well, we may want to talk about these earthquakes a bit. And
yeah, I got an email from Ann Morrison here. I think today yesterday there was one near Iceland or Greenland. It would have been a 7.5 on the old scale.
Right, right. Yeah, this whole planet, this rock we live on, is really rocking and rolling. We've had about a 900% increase in earthquake. Earthquakes.
We're going to the break, John. We're going to the break.
Okay, I'll hold.
Okay, folks, we'll be back with the Light of Day radio show coming to you live on Orion Clock Radio Network with our guest, John Moore. Stay tuned.
Speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Just a lot of very strange activity happening all at once. And I can't remember a time in which I've seen this many earthquakes in a single amount of time. Just very, very strange stuff.
Nemesis star going through the Oort cloud and dragging millions of comets with it and hurling them in our direction. You know, that would explain why the comets are actually hitting the sun rather than, going into orbit around it. And also, it probably would explain all the small
There things. Seems to be some serious observation going on in the southern hemisphere and leaks coming out all over the place. It does appear that groups of military and professional astronomers are openly active, let's say, at the Wormwood location in Australia. Well, of course, that's what I've been saying all along. The indicators were all there. And now there are reports that a mini solar system is coming into ours. There's no time frame.
Here's a time frame. And in January 2009, which is in 21 months, the U.S. government begins evacuating their own people, government employees, and their families from the East Coast, West Coast, Gulf Coast, and Great Lakes areas, completing their evacuations in 33 months, which is in December of 09, which I think is significant in light of this DOD report, because they talk about 2010, which just happens to be the month following January 2010, the completion of their evacuations. 21 months is not much time.
No.
It's you know, it'll be here before we know it. It will just fly by. And because of the disruption and the expense, they would not do this evacuation until the last moment. It's an absolute logistical nightmare to move tens of thousands of men and women, their children, their adult children, their household possessions, their pets. It's just an absolute logistical nightmare, and that's what they're in the process of undertaking and putting into place, is that huge logistical challenge. Offices of 4,000 and 5,000 people already being moved out of Washington, D.C., for example.
Wow.
It's already happening, and you don't have to dig too deep to find it in open sources.
Wow.
As if you could hide moving an off a 5,000 people anyway.
That's true, but you got to know where to look as well. And obviously, we're fortunate.
Rogue object, or is it something in a captive orbit, or is it just the sun? But what is the sun interacting with? All right, now we go through these long periods of relative quiescence, punctuated by brief moments of intense violence. Not only is the solar activity increasing, but the planets are all responding to it. Any planet that's got an atmosphere is responding. We believe Planet X is approaching from the southern hemisphere. And if it is approaching, it's interacting with the sun. And if it's interacting with the sun, the southern hemisphere, the sun is going to be more active, which it is.
The 10th planet has a debris field that travels with it, about 250,000 miles wide of rocks, big rocks and little rocks. Now, these bolides, I can't say because I don't know whether they're part of the things that come along with Planet X, the debris field, but they might be. At some point, we're going to be passing through that debris field, I would say.
This past week, we had no fewer than 4 comets crash into the sun. This past week, 4 comets came into the sun and crashed into it. We have hundreds and hundreds of these comets that crash into the sun, and they all seem to come from about.
We are now aware of a very large object that is coming into the solar system, and there seems to be a historical recurrence of this object. Some people call it Nibiru, Planet X. My personal study deals with what I call extrasolar system objects. Some are big, some are small, but there's no question that there are hundreds, possibly thousands of these objects which come into our solar system periodically and then go out in a long orbit. This is the other thing, is that comets have the ability to affect the energy output of the sun. When that happens, we then get severe weather on Earth. So there's many aspects to the effects that these large comets can have on the solar system and on planet Earth. But the bottom line is, comets are not...
As to what the elite may be preparing for, and what that is, it's hard to say. It could be any number of scenarios. We don't really know. Of course, there are certainly possibilities of the 10th planet, some sort of cosmic event, the Nemesis stars we discussed before, possibly having some sort of role in this. It's very difficult to say, but... all the information is certainly very intriguing, and it leads to something that they are preparing for. I don't think there's any question about that, and you can draw your own conclusions as to what that is.
My personal thoughts is that 2012 is when it's all over, and we start the new age of mankind. And I believe that there's going to be a number of smaller events leading up to some larger event down the road. You know, there's going to be earthquakes and smaller tsunamis, things like that. And basically, it'll lead up to some bigger event, and then after that, it'll all be over. And I think that's what 2012 really is. You'll notice it in the movie 2012. We had a black president. The same thing with the movie. Deep in that.
Number one thing that people should take notice of is that the Earth will undergo a great number of earthquakes, many more than it's ever seen in our recorded history. They're much larger. It's they're larger and they're more frequent. They're not occurring just on the major fault lines on the planet. They are occurring everywhere.
Well, you know, one of the things that, a lot of people have factored a lot of this into is do they know something about a comet, asteroid, massive body that's going to be swinging by close? And there's certainly a lot of talk about Planet X for a while there, and then it kind of faded out because, you know, people make predictions and things like that. The point here is that these things have been patterns of events throughout human history.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day, coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We got John Moore on the line here, and we don't want to hold him up much longer, as it's way past his bedtime.
I appreciate your consideration, Sheldon.
Were you able to hear that soundbite I was playing, John?
Yeah, that's very well done, and I appreciate it. Hearing it the second time was well worthwhile.
Yeah, I had to play it over because it wasn't going out over the air the first time. But anyway, yeah, you wanted to mention something now about the earthquakes.
Well, we've had this year, calendar year 2010, approximately a 900% increase in earthquakes 4.0 and larger. Keeping in mind, of course, as you and I both know, that they changed the Richter scale. And after Charles F. Richter died, in the 1984-1985 time frame, they reduced the Richter scale by one full number value. Point being, Sheldon, they knew 25 years ago what would be happening 25 years in the future, which of course is right now, a dramatic increase in number and severity of earthquakes. A lot of people are very aware of the Richter scale and what these numbers mean, and they're trying to keep these people pacified and in the dark as to what's really going on.
Hey, John?
Yes.
It's interesting you bring that up. Right before my show started, I was checking out all this tornado activity across the country, and I found that they enhanced the F scale for tornadoes on February 1st, 2007. So you think that has factored into this as well?
I'm not sure what that enhancement means. Can you elaborate?
Well, I think they use lower. I don't know. I'd have to check into it again, but I just...
Well, if they had some way of downgrading, making tornadoes appear to be less severe, that would be very significant. The tornado we had in Mississippi, I believe it was it 4 or 5 days ago, was a mile wide at the ground. That's highly unusual. Usually a tornado is a couple hundred yards wide at the most.
Yeah, I read about tornadoes in, like, Mississippi and Alabama and some other state.
Well, we had a tornado in Oregon, and as Ann Morrison and I discussed the other day, Oregon doesn't have tornadoes.
No, I don't hear that very often anymore.
No. Oregon, you know, they don't have, generally, west of the Rocky Mountains, they don't have tornadoes. That's something in the south and in the plain states. But generally, west of the Rockies, they don't have tornadoes.
Wow. Well, what else can you think of before I let you go here?
Well, let's get my contact information out.
Sure, go ahead.
My website is thelibertyman.com. Don't forget to put the in front of Liberty Man, Tango Hotel Echo, thelibertyman.com. And I have three radio shows I do. I do seven radio shows 6 days a week, and the links are there on my website, thelibertyman.com. And, of course, my best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, which I know you've seen, Sheldon, will provide people a lot of details on why these things are happening and how they're happening and how to get ready to deal with them. So I recommend that, and people should get their hands on it.
Yeah, folks, and if you go to my website, The Light of Day Radio Show, and you go to the Archives Miscellaneous subpage, I also have a downloadable MP3 version of that Global Warming DVD in case you just want to hear an audio version of it.
It'll be a long 2 hours to listen to audio, but a person could do that. Yep.
Well, that's what I do. Being a trucker, I take MP3s, burn them onto a CD, and listen to them out in the semi-truck.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I mean, if that's how you get a chance, that's the audio version is better than nothing, absolutely.
Yeah, boy. You know, I noticed you're a distributor of that AMSOIL product. I might end up buying some of that from you because I just got a a new used pickup truck, a Toyota Tacoma, and I was recommended by a friend up in Wisconsin that I throw some of that into my vehicle.
Right, right. Well, Amsoil, if you want to get the maximum service with the least amount of maintenance costs, Amsoil is certainly the way to go. It's military technology and lubrication brought into the private sector is what it is. Excellent stuff.
And they do sell a transmission product as well, right?
They do. They sell every kind of lubricant you can imagine for cars, trucks, motorcycles, everything.
Okay, John.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Sheldon. We'll do this again sometime. And thank you, sir. And you all, your audience, you have a wonderful evening and a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, we're going to bring John DiNardo on here in a minute. And thanks.
John will be a good guest. He's a good man.
All right, John. Well, thanks for dropping in. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, folks. Well, there was John Moore from Davisville, Missouri. I wanted to read something quick about this Vatican a telescope here down here near Tucson, where I'm located, before we bring John DiNardo on. And I'm hoping John's out there listening to the Orion stream, so I can't open my email right now to send him a message. But anyway, I'm going to read this quick article before we bring John DiNardo on. Vatican-tied Mount Graham Observatory launches Lucifer Telescope, posted April 25, 2010. New instrument for the world's largest optical telescope, the Large Binocular Telescope on Mount Graham, down here near where I'm located, allows astronomers to observe the faintest and most distant objects in the universe. Tucson, Arizona. Large Binocular Telescope partners in the U.S., Germany, and Italy announced April 21st that the first of two new innovative near-infrared cameras/spectrographs for the Large Binocular Telescope is now available to astronomers for scientific observations at the telescope on top Mount Graham in southeastern Arizona. After more than a decade of design, manufacturing, and testing, the new instrument, dubbed Lucifer 1, well, that's a heck of a name, ain't it, folks? It provides a powerful tool to gain spectacular insights into the universe, from the Milky Way to extremely distant galaxies. Lucifer, built by a consortium of German institutes, will be followed by an identical twin instrument that will be delivered to the telescope early next year. With the large light-gathering power of the Large Binocular Telescope, astronomers are now able to collect the spectral fingerprints of the faintest and most distant objects in the universe, said the LBT director Richard Green, a professor of astronomy at the University of Arizona's Stewart Observatory. Lucifer 1 and its twin are mounted at the focus points of the Large Binocular Telescope's two giant 27.6-foot diameter telescope mirrors. Each instrument is cooled to 213 degrees below zero Celsius in order to observe in the near-infrared wavelength range. Now, folks, this is the spectrum, this is the range in the electromagnetic spectrum that is required to view an incoming Planet X-type object. So that may be a dot connector there. Anyway, it goes on, near-infrared observations are essential for understanding the formation of stars and planets in our galaxy, as well as revealing the secrets of the most distant and very young galaxies. I did want to point out, folks, if you're tuned in, that tonight starts a two-hour show, by the way, so we'll have another hour and 10 minutes to go here until the end of the show. So we'll have plenty of time to have John DiNardo speak his mind tonight. And we're not taking calls yet. I know I have a call-in capability here from callers in the audience, but I'm still going to hold off on that until I get this show fine-tuned. As you can tell, I still have some fine-tuning to do here. Anyway, the article goes on. Lucifer's innovative design allows astronomers to observe in unprecedented detail, for example, star-forming regions which are commonly hidden by dust clouds. Well, now that's something, folks, because the Planet X is, as you just heard John Moore mention, is surrounded by an extreme dust cloud. This instrument is remarkably flexible, combining a large field of view with a high resolution. It provides three exchangeable cameras for imaging and spectroscopy in different resolutions according to observational requirements. Astronomers use spectroscopy to analyze incoming light and answer questions such as how stars and galaxies formed and what they're made of. The instruments were built by a consortium of five German institutes led by the Center for Astronomy of Heidelberg University, together with the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy in Heidelberg, however you pronounce that, and the Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Garching, the astronomic blah blah. It goes on and on. Anyway, I'd like to bring John DiNardo on here before it gets too close to the end of the first hour. So I'm going to give him a call now and bring him on to the show. Again, you're listening to The Light of Day coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Yeah, hi, Sheldon.
Anyway, here we have John DiNardo on the line now. I'm sorry, John, we had a severe technical difficulty at the beginning there. I had to hold John Moore over so he could talk a little more, and we'll be going in the break here in about, 7 or 8 minutes, but I'll let you have the floor until the top of the hour, so go ahead.
Okay, I'm reading from Mark Hazelwood's book, Blindsided, published around 2001, I think. This is page 65, and it's people who are prophets. You know, a lot of people had visions. Modern-day people had visions. They didn't know where they came from, and they're all pointing in the same direction. Let me read to you from Mary's Message to the World by Annie Kirkwood. Quote, the planet is already beginning to have some violent reactions to inner stirring, which is occurring deep in its core. The spinning and churning of the core will also have an effect on its rotation. A wobbling effect on Earth's spin will cause the ocean currents to flow in different patterns. These changes in the ocean currents will affect every shoreline. The fish and mammals will be confused, and some will act different. The tides will become out of sync. Many new records will be set. Many unusual events will be reported. Everything will commence to be strange to you on Earth. The world is changing, and there is nothing you can do about it. Man cannot control the size and frequency of the storms which will come out of the oceans. Man is helpless against earthquakes, which will be increasing in size, intensity, and frequency. Volcanoes will come out of nowhere. Old volcanoes will become active and alive with fury. These are just the beginning of the coming events. This intensity of the vibrations of the magnetic field will cause many new and powerful reactions on Earth. You have just begun to see the fury of these storms. The tidal waves will also set new records of intensity and strength. Incidentally, we've been seeing that already. The coastal lands will be racked with violence. There will be much destruction of land before the turning of the axis. That means the pole shift. In your country, America, the areas which will suffer the most will be the West Coast as it disappears and the East Coast as it also takes its turn at being destroyed. New York will not stand again as the giant trade center. Japan will lose its power center and they will be caring for their own and will not be able to take advantage of the world situation for gain. The trading centers of the world will be destroyed by the planet herself. All the brains in the world will not be able to stop the onslaught of the Earth's rages. The polar ice caps will begin to melt. As they split apart, large chunks of ice will break off and become a danger to ships and to seashores. There will be concern that the seas will flood many land masses. This will begin slowly and be unpredictable. The melting polar caps will cause the water level of the oceans to rise, changing the seacoast around the world forever. The state and city of New York will begin to be flooded with swollen seashores. The waters along the coast will rise, and much of New York City will have to be evacuated. The evacuation will be permanent, but at the beginning, many will think it is temporary. The polar ice caps will have begun to melt, and that will be cited as the reason for the flooding. In reality, the Earth will have already begun to sink in preparation for the major event. Along this coast, there will be earthquakes and unusual electrical storms. The storms will intensify and add to the problems of the flooding. The Gulf will rise, and the state of Florida will lose much of its land back to the sea. The Indies will be besieged by storms, but will not evacuate its population. The middle part of Russia will have floods and rains, which will be unequaled in their damage. This isolated part of the world will be in the news and become known worldwide. The ocean currents will be changing, and the magnetic fields of the Earth will be moved about. Barometric and magnetic fields will set new records. The core of the Earth will spin and churn. The animals on the land and in the sea will be dying off in great numbers, and many wild animals will become extinct. The droughts which are affecting the world will continue. Those who reside on the African continent will be most affected, but other parts of the world will also begin to feel the droughts. There will be famines in those lands which have had the most wars. World hunger will be increasing. Worldwide damaging winds will occur in many lands. The winter months will be colder and in many areas wetter. Much snow will accumulate in places which have never had snow before. There will also be floods, mudslides, and torrential rains likely in all parts of the globe. These changes will be caused by the shifting, molten masses in the interior of the Earth. Inside the Earth, the changes are already occurring. The oceans will churn with out-of-season storms. There will be hurricanes, tornadoes, tidal waves of huge magnitude. Weather patterns will change dramatically all over the world. It will seem as if the heavens have opened up an avalanche of storms. The winds will become unsettled and unpredictable. There will be tornadoes in areas where there have never been tornadoes.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Can you hold your thought there? We're going to be coming into the break. You have a full hour you had here after the top of the hour. I'll just patch you into the commercial music.
Okay.
Well, there's music. Folks, we'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Day coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network with our ongoing guest, John DiNardo. Stay tuned.
Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. We have more listeners than the big boys' HD2 channels. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.